This is Phil Lamar, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Today, I'd like to welcome to the program, Imran. Welcome.
What's up, Steve? I can't believe I'm talking to the Steve Megatron Phillips. That's amazing. Fun fact, did you know Bob Ross's middle name was Optimus? It's very strange.
I did not.
Bob Optimus Ross. No one called him that. But no, I'm completely making that up. If you Google check that, listener, it's not true.
There was a guy, though, that actually legally changed his name to Optimus Prime.
Oh, that's badass.
Yes.
I like that level of commitment. Like Nick Cage naming his kids Kal-El and whatever. He's nuts, but I love it.
Yeah, that would be I haven't heard anything from that guy in like ages. I don't even know what became of him, but I know that he made like huge news renaming himself to Optimus Prime.
The sponsorship money alone should be huge.
You would think so.
You know? Get Optimus Prime to speak at your next event. Who wouldn't book that?
They would think it's the robot and they're like, "Oh, it's just a dude."
Autobots, roll out.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, boy, where do I start? Well, I'm just a mild-mannered reporter by day. It's a superhero podcaster by night. No, I am I'm a graphic designer, illustrator, artist by day, and run a little podcast by night. That's such a loaded question, and I'm just a big geek. I've always been a big geek and nerd. I've loved Spider-Man even before I could read. And eventually like started the Jock and Nerd podcast to share passion of this amazing geek culture and the golden age of superhero movies we are in. But if you want to get deeper, like I'm a, here you go. Here, I'll tell you about me. I'm a Pakistani, American, you know, born in America with immigrant parents who has had vitiligo since he was six. All right. So here's where it gets weird. I don't know if you know anything about vitiligo. It is a skin disorder in which the melanin in your skin is slowly destroyed. So I literally was born a brown baby and I grew up into a white man.
Okay. Just,
yeah, it's wrap your head around that for a second. It's a lot to take in.
Hey, it's all cool. That's your superpower.
It really is. And it's kind of like, I only mentioned it because it's been like, it changes you. Like I said, when you go through something like this, like my skin didn't even out until I was like in high school or late teens. But it teaches you to be tolerant when you go through school. You know, everyone's staring and they're calling you names. And like you can't hide your skin, people. It's, you know, you're just out there. And I feel like if I never had gone through that, I'd probably be like the biggest entitled asshole prick right now. But it's taught me to be tolerant and be patient and see things from other people's point of views. So I don't know. And then to top that off, that nature isn't cruel enough. Like my skin evened out. Now what's happening is my beard, my facial hair is going through the same thing. Cause I guess the vitiligo is hitting like the hair roots. So my beard was all black. And then there was like these white stripes coming in and it literally changes every day. And it's gone back to that whole thing where, like, I'm catching people kind of, like, staring at me going, "Oh, wow, check that out. I don't see that often." And I forgot. And, in fact, when I walk by a mirror, I'm also like, "Whoa, oh, yeah, that's what I look like now." I forgot. So, yeah, I don't know why I started with the physical appearance. But it does really everything you are, you know, you are your whole life experience. Everything you've ever done is who you make up, I would think. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree.
Right?
Yeah, especially if you know, you're one of those people that talks into a tape recorder as a kid and you voice, yes, Megatron and you know, then you end up taking on the name of Megatron and then you talk into another microphone.
Is that how that happened? Is that your favorite Transformer Megatron?
Beast Wars Megatron, to be exact.
Oh, the Beast. So you're a little bit younger.
Yeah, a little bit.
I grew up with the OG Transformers. That was my shit bag in the day. You know, like literally the original Thundercats, G.I. Joe, Transformers. When I discovered Robotech, you ever seen Robotech?
Yes.
oh my God, when I saw like this soap opera cartoon where the storyline continued and people died and stayed dead, it blew my little geek mind away. I was like, what is this? And I had a huge crush on Lin-Min May, even though she was animated. But her singing voice, oh my God, how can you not fall in love with it? But Megatron's badass, dude. I even had the Megatron original toy, which is weird now because, like, you know, I don't. Do kids even play with guns anymore? Like, is that a thing?
Well,
I don't.
They've since transformed Megatron into a tank, but he still has the same robot mode. But they've morphed him into a tank so that they can legally sell him in today's era.
So a tank is less offensive than a gun, I suppose. There's still a big cannon on the tank. He still shoots things dead, people. Come on.
It's because they can look like a real gun.
Yeah, and I always thought that was weird. As like you know, you had Optimus Prime, and you transformed him, and he was like a tiny model truck, right? You know, like 1/8 size. You transform Megatron, and it's like a life-size handgun. Like, what is this? This is kind of strange.
That's why when they came out with the Masterpiece, they actually had to open them up and put orange caps on the tip of the gun to make them look fake when they hit the U.S.
What happened? Everybody got soft. Remember, he came with a silencer and like a bump stock? Dude, let me tell you, I had a water gun. It was an electric battery-operated water gun. I wanted this so badly when I was a kid. And it was from, I can't remember the name, Tectonics or something. It literally looked like an M16 machine gun. Full size. No red end. It looked like a flat. So I'm running around the alleys of Chicago where I'm from, and there's like gang graffiti on our garage doors, and I have what looks like an actual machine gun shooting at my friends. No, there was no problem. There was no problem back then. This is the 80s, people. People were cool.
Yeah, I remember in the 90s, my dad yelling at me for pointing a Star Trek original series phaser at various people, and he's like, don't do that.
It's not even a real gun, though. It's a phaser. Wow, so like the G.I. Joe toys, like I remember I had G.I. Joe toys, and they had tons of guns, and that was the best part. All the little accessories. Like, do they even come with guns anymore? It's so weird.
I think they do, but they're just colored weird now.
I see. They're not trying to be realistic with their little mini guns.
We gotta make them fake. That's why they have red laser, blue laser.
What about laser tag? You ever play laser tag?
Yeah.
Now, when is that gonna be banned? Eventually, someone's gonna lose their shit over we shouldn't be firing lasers at each other. What kind of example is this setting? Ban laser tag.
They'll get finger tag. They'll just, you know, they'll put little sensors on your hands, and you'll just have to tag somebody, and they'll be like, oh, that, you know.
Yeah, and you literally would have to make this. You'd have to go, pew, pew, I got you. I guess it's the only way it would work.
Oh,
the weird world we're living in.
Yes. So you mentioned that because of your weird geekdom, that's why you started the Jock and Nerd podcast?
Yeah, so what happened was there was a guy at work, the receptionist, actually, was matchmaking, and she knew I was into comic books. And like I said, I work in the creative department, and there was a dude at work who was younger generation, worked in ticket sales where we work, and like, you know, total, like, you know, the salespeople are all jocks. I would never hang out with these people. I don't get them. I was never a jock. And you know, my podcast is Jock and Nerd Podcast. Spoiler alert, I am not the jock of the podcast. But she mentioned this guy also like comic books. I was like, get out of here. I'm gonna go talk to him. So Anthony's there, and turns out he's like, you know, 10 years younger than me, but he got into comics through the MCU, through the movies, and started reading some of the new trade paperbacks. And meanwhile, I was like, oh, bro, that's awesome. But Harry, you should read these old school things where everybody came from. And then every week we ended up going, we'd have a little mandate, and we go to the comic book, our local comic book store. This was right when the new 52 started, and we buy comics every week. And I had like a huge pull list. And then on the way, and this is also around the time, there's more TV shows, superhero TV shows start showing up, like Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 5-6 years ago. So every week we're talking about what the books we read and the shows we watched, and we're listening to these podcasts about the superhero shows. And the whole time I'm back in my head, I'm listening to these podcasts and I love them, but I'm like, everyone's taking this shit so seriously. You guys are missing the inherent jokes in this ridiculousness that we love as adults, right? And so me and him, eventually, he's like, hey, why don't we just start a podcast of our own? And when I get an idea in my head, I get super obsessed. And literally in two weeks to that day, I had everything set up. There was a website. We were ready to record our first episode. This was in March of 2015. And we haven't missed a week since then, and we're on like episode 258 or something. And I still love it as much as the first time. So we started out just reviewing weekly, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Flash, Arrow, these comic book shows. But then it got to a point where there was way too many shows to review. And now what we do is a mix of, you know, news and reviews and then whatever we choose. So we'll review superhero movies. We'll go over the geek news and come up with geek topics and things suggested by our community and our listeners. And there's never going to be not enough things to talk about. You're never going to run out of things to talk about, I've realized, very quickly, which is what's amazing. Because you think, like, what am I going to talk about this week? And then all this shit pops up, and you're like, all right, here we go. Steven, do you find it that you will run out of things to talk about in a geek podcast format?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've been podcasting since actually 2007.
Wow. Wow. Oh, gee, that's awesome.
I got my start on a Transformers podcast
right on
another network, and then I was with them for about a year, and then they kind of closed up shop on some of the things, and I went and launched my own Transformers podcast, which brought me into contact with multiple people who ended up helping me form the Geekcast Radio Network, and we kind of ballooned that out in 2009 with a ton of other shows. And so, like, we've had retro TV, we've had current TV, we've had movies, we've had comic books, we've had, like, variety shows, Transformers, Batman, like, you name it, we've probably covered it. And it's definitely something that you have to kind of like take a step back for a little bit when you do run out of things to say, and then you're like, okay, what do I still care about at this point?
Yes.
Because there are certain things I've noticed that I was once interested in, and I just don't care now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, all of our same thing with us, you know, your tastes change over time, your format's going to change, but that you got to the heart of it is, you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, what can I not stop talking about? What do I really want to geek out about? What do I care about? And every week we somehow manage to come out with something. By the way, the site is very sharp. You got quite a network here. So kudos to you, because I've had ideas for multiple shows, but I know me. Like, I cannot. I was like, I'm going to focus on one show and make it the best I can before splitting off. How do you find that balance? Is that hard?
It definitely is hard. It makes it easier too when you have multiple people with multiple interests running different shows.
Yes.
Although I will say a lot of the original shows was kind of a collaboration between myself and the co-creator of the network, where we both came up with these ideas and then we launched them, and then oftentimes I started on majority of them with him, and then I, after a while, went off and did other things, and he kind of took them and ran with it. I've still got my Transformers podcast even after all these years. I have yet to record one for 2019, but I kind of tend to record the episodes based on whether there's actual things I want to talk about or review.
Right. Yeah.
I don't do like the whole like, I'm going to cover the news and the rumors this week. Just because it's kind of just like a nothing burger. Like, I feel like I'm feeding them, you know, the fatty part of a hamburger and saying, you know, here, eat this. And I wouldn't eat it, so I wouldn't feed that to other people. And so that's kind of my mentality with it. But I've split off. I've had a Batman podcast that we've reviewed episodes of Batman the Animated Series and Batman Beyond. We've got the Transformers podcast that I primarily run. And then I've got a Star Trek podcast, which I run too and do mostly during the time when they have the seasons running.
Yeah.
Or we have topics or something. But my primary bread and butter show is Altered Geek, where I hang out. But I record the other ones kind of in tandem throughout the week when I have free points.
Well, you got a lot of stuff coming up for Star Trek. That's got to be exciting on that front with Discovery and a new show with Picard coming back, which is crazy.
Oh yeah, I'm super excited for Picard coming back. I think I have the series pegged on where it's what's going to take place and what's going to happen.
So I heard that he's no longer like a captain of a ship. What do you think's going to happen? Can you give us a little?
I think he's going to be the ambassador.
Okay.
Vulcan.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I think because Spock is no longer there, because they're going to take that part of the 2009 film of where Spock went to destroy the Hobus star on Romulus before it went supernova and then failed miserably and got shot into the past.
Right.
I think because Picard had such strong ties with the Romulans throughout TNG and throughout Nemesis with that whole thing going down, I think that he's going to be a part of the kind of trying to do the reunification between the two species of Vulcan and Romulus and trying to help them whatever way he can. Because they're saying that it's supposed to have like a deep impact on him, which it kind of would after, you know, watching them get annihilated by his clone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, all the things that transpired from that. And so it's going to take place 20 years after Nemesis,
okay.
Of course. And I'm assuming that they're not going to, at least in the first season, introduce the TNG cast, but they'll allude to them to kind of let Picard have his own thing for a bit and then bring them in season two, kind of like they've done with Discovery with Spock and Enterprise, things of that nature. So we'll probably see a lot of it kind of tying into, because you're talking it's going to be like the 2390s at this point. I think it's going to fit in that nice gray area of Star Trek Online's timeline.
Okay, the swinging 2390s, yes.
Yes, and so I think that we're going to see that kind of come into effect, because in Star Trek Online, it's basically taken the entire Prime universe and made it all fit into one colossal timeline when you're playing the game, and so you actually get to see, like, every era and how they connect with all these different time travel aspects and everything else going on.
Whoa.
So it's really trippy when you play the game and then you've kind of had the experience of watching the show. And so it kind of, it's going to fit well in there because of how everything is playing out and how they're kind of describing it. So I think that it's going to allude to the fact that the Klingons are going to have basically a war with the Federation at this point. Like, the treaty is going to be broken. It's going to be kind of just, you know, back as
business as usual. Yeah,
business as usual. So that's kind of my thoughts on it and what they're going to do. I've had pretty good predictions on Discovery thus far as well. But
oh, nice. I mean, older Jean-Luc with the goatee looks awesome. And I mean, I think this will be huge for CBS All Access getting more subscribers, because there is a streaming war going out there, and everybody's $10 is so valuable right now. And I think so many more people are going to jump onto that. Everybody who didn't want to jump in for Discovery, if they see Picard coming back, they're gonna make a lot of money.
Plus, they're going to have two animated series. They're going to have Starfleet Academy series. They're going to have a Khan series. They're going to have something else. So yeah, they got a lot in the buffer for Trek for sure.
There's just too much content to keep up with. I have the DC Universe app, cause I wanted to check it out, for Titans, and it's all right. That's kind of weird. I'm highly anticipating this Disney Plus app. Are you, how geeked are you for this?
I think I'm pretty geeked for the Disney Plus, more so than some of the other ones, just because I want to see what gets yanked from the other services as the service launches, and especially we're gonna have
everything's getting yanked. It's all gonna go over. They're not gonna let anybody show their stuff. It's Disney.
Yeah, so that'll be fun too, seeing how that transpires. And you've got AT&T and Warner Brothers and everything else gonna do their stuff too. So it's gonna be definitely interesting towards the end of the year, seeing how all these different services battle it out for people's hard-earned cash.
It's amazing. So I'll give the DC Universe app, I'll give them one bit of props for the Titans show. While if you've seen the trailer, if you haven't watched it, it seems unnecessarily dark and violent, and it is, right? But the season actually was not bad. It was pretty good. It was kind of their version of like Marvel's Netflix shows. However, they took it a step further, and this is something I didn't understand why they didn't do on Netflix, is the Titans show had so much graphic violence. It had nudity and it had full-on swearing, just F-bombs left and right. It gave it another sense of that it was something else, a step beyond, because even like the Daredevil and Punisher, they'll show the violence, but that's it. They don't let them swear. There's barely any nudity, and it's kind of weird, and maybe because it's Disney and they have a thing to uphold. But man, on Titans, they didn't care. And it just, they went balls to the wall. So I kind of appreciated that. The show is pretty interesting. Have you seen any of it, Steven?
I have not.
It's I don't know if it's worth buying the app yet, but they're going to put out more content. They're going to have a Swamp Thing show, Doom Patrol, Young Justice. It was interesting. It was dark, violent, sweary.
The thing that would get me to subscribe, like yes. hook, line, and sinker, is if they yes. had an actual Batman show.
A new one.
A new one. Not Gotham. Yeah, like an actual Batman show.
I absolutely agree. But they seem to be dancing around Batman so much. It's so weird. I don't understand. For example, well, you have Gotham, first of all, which is just a complete, like, at the end of every show, I'm like, what did I just watch, Gotham? It's a batshit crazy show. Pun intended. I hated it at first. Now it's my guilty pleasure.
Yep.
Just because I'm like, what? So much stuff happens in one episode, and it's just over the top ridiculous.
Yep. And there's a little bit of a theory behind that, and I've talked to a couple other podcasters about this, like especially the guys in the Simplistic Reviews podcast, and they mentioned that Warner Brothers, or not Warner Brothers, AT&T has like the streaming rights to some of the Star Wars movies.
Right.
And Fox, which Disney now owns,
right,
has the rights to Batman on television.
Oh, so it's like a little trade-off?
It's a Mexican standoff.
Oh, they're like, who's... Oh, I see. So it's similar to like Canon having Fantastic Four and Fox trying to hold on to the Fantastic Four by just making shit movies. They're like, we're going to make, well, the Gotham's ending this year. They finally get into season 5, but they're like, we're going to make this crazy show just because we can until you give us this TV, because for Disney Plus to launch and they can't show the Star Wars movies. Would that happen?
It's some of them. It's not all of
them. Not all of them. Ah, that's interesting. So at the end of this season of Gotham, there was a little promo where they show like cape and cowl, you know, in smoke. And I'm like, what? What? Meanwhile, this David Mazouz, who's playing, what is he, like 15? He is just knocking out like full grown adults. Like he's just beating them down somehow. I don't know how this little kid is able to take out all these with guns, people with guns. And he takes them out. What are you doing, Gotham? And then meanwhile, on the other side, the Arrowverse, you had this amazing crossover. And they introduced Batwoman, and they name drop Bruce Wayne, Gotham, Arkham Asylum, but no, like Arrow is a Batman show. Like Arrow should have just been Batman. You're not giving us Batman, but you're giving us everything else around Batman. Why don't they just make a Bat? Why doesn't somebody just make a Batman show?
Or why couldn't they just do what they did with Superman? Having him show up in Supergirl and in the crossover.
Yes!
And having just Batman show up. A brief thing.
The fact that they showed Superman in a cameo role, I was like, wow, that's crazy. But is there something about Batman that they're like, this is our cash cow. He deserves the best. He will not show up anywhere if it's not on a big screen making $1 billion. I don't know. I don't think it would dilute the Batman. Show me the Batman on TV. You've been dancing around it for all this whole time, and it's annoying and stupid.
Well, it's like the Joker and various other characters like that. They can't show them on TV either unless, like, that's why they can't even call him the Joker on Gotham. Like, they even had to color the hair differently. Like, he can't have the green hair. He's got to have purple.
And wow.
It's it's just weird. Like, they can't even, like, mimic a lot of the physical aspects of it because it's too close to what they hold dear. Like, they're like, no, these are our two. Like, you can't touch them.
All right, so that kind of explains the decisions that they make on Gotham. I will say I love the guy playing, you know, Penguin and Enigma and Edward. Like, those guys are great.
Since day one.
Yeah, they've been there since day one. And Ben McKenzie is just whatever. Like, he's not the greatest. And even the kid isn't the greatest. But I love the girl playing Selina Kyle and just the cast of bad guys. Like, that show would be great if there was an adult Batman in it.
Especially when they're going to skip 5 years into the future with the last episode.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, I kind of love how like Gotham is broken up into little segments and the gangs control it and the cops control this part. And they're
no man's
doing
land.
No man's land. They're doing that. But then they pull. We have a series on our show called What the Fuck Happened, where our buddy Matt Talhauer comes in. We take a look at a comic book bomb of a movie, and he gives us, he narrates it, and then we try to figure out what happened to this movie. We did Catwoman, and I'd never seen Catwoman until this episode, and I did not realize that it was not a movie about Catwoman, but a movie about a literal Catwoman that had nothing to do with the comic books. And then, spoiler, they pull that same shit in Gotham. What are you doing? What is this?
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of this show just doesn't make sense, but I can't turn it off now because
Me neither!
I know it's about to end.
Yeah, well, that too. And I've watched it all, and I'm invested, but God, the show makes me so angry, and I can't turn it off.
It's kind of like Arrow. Like, I enjoy the show, but at this point, like, I'm like, stop stealing Batman's rogue gallery. I mean, it's
just
like...
Batman. Yeah, I stopped. I started this season. I've kind of fallen off. The only things I'm really watching week to week now are The Flash and Legends and Black Lightning, because they're all still kind of fun. Legends is another one. We call the show Doctor Who Cares. It's like, do not think about the time travel. You will hurt your brain. But it doesn't matter, because they're just having a blast with these characters.
Yeah, the first season I actually hated.
Yeah, it was not good, because they got stuck with those stupid hawk people and the Vandal Savage. Tiny little Vandal Savage with those teeth. Immaculate teeth. But nah, it was not good.
Yeah, the quote-unquote caveman teeth, and then they finally managed to do away with him. But, like, I started liking it after the first season.
Yes.
And then it got better. Flash seems to be up and down, but it seems to be overall pretty well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, those are pretty much the main two that I care about. But being that we've had the crossovers, I kind of have to pay attention to the other ones as well.
I mean, they said the crossovers, they did it well this year, where you really didn't need to watch some of the other ones. And I didn't. Like, I haven't watched Supergirl in a while, but I did enjoy the crossover. And then Legends has Matt Ryan Constantine, who's I love this Constantine. I don't know. What do you think of this Constantine? He's a favorite Constantine.
I think it's funny that he got his show canceled and then they brought him over here, and he's still rolling.
Yes. That show was actually not bad. They had just put it in a really bad time slot, Friday night, like 9 p.m. Like, who's watching that on Friday night, 9 p.m.? But I love that it's still the same character, and he voices the cartoon version too. Great Constantine. I wish they'd let him swear just once to be real Constantine, but that's fine.
If they ever give him a movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He would be great. He'd be way better than the Keanu Constantine.
So, what's some of the biggest geek nerd news that you think matters nowadays with all of the various films and TV shows and everything else going on?
Well, I mean, on our show, we're very heavy Marvel. We love the MCU, and I'm wondering if Marvel can keep it fresh, because there's a little bit of a bubble. Next year we'll have like the most superhero movies coming out. Of course, the highly anticipated Endgame is going to be a really big move. It's probably going to make another $2 billion. And what they do post, where it goes, is kind of exciting. If you think about the possibilities, you know, we're going to have to say goodbye to some of the old school characters, but that's fine. They have contracts. They're not going to be them forever. This is really going to like be the first big test after 10 years to see if they can kind of reset it and keep it going. And keep people interested. But I'm really excited. Actually, what I've been excited about lately is these indie comic books getting turned into TV shows. There's a couple of really exciting shows coming out, and they're non-superhero. So, Bill Maher, not all comic books are superhero, you bastards. There is smart stuff out there. He's missing the point a little bit.
He misses a lot of points.
God bless him. He misses points. He missed the point of that one. But, for example, The Boys... there's a show called The Boys coming out on Amazon, produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, I believe, who also did Preacher, which is very good. That looks great. Netflix has Umbrella Academy by Gerard Way, he's in My Chemical Romance, and he writes comics. This guy has a dream career. Like, I kind of wish I had that career where you're in a popular band and then you get to write comic books and draw comic books. That's amazing. Umbrella Academy looks great. And what is the other one there's a show called Deadly Class on Sci-Fi that's based on an Image comic book about a high school for assassins. So I think these indie slash non-superhero books are going to actually breathe some more life into this genre as people realize, like, it's more than just I'll quote Bill Maher. It's more than just superheroes finding glowy things. I will say he had a point on the glowy thing. There's
well,
a lot.
Only if you consider Marvel.
Yes, it was all Marvel, and yes. Which is my point. Like, the movies are great. Marvel has not made a bad movie. Are they getting a little formulaic? Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. Like, I think people just skipped, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp because they're like, it's the same. It's, we've seen this. Or, you know, I don't know. So
I think I watched that.
Yeah.
I want to say I did because that's...
You probably forgot it, probably.
Yeah, the last, like, minute of the movie was, like, the only thing you really needed because it ties right into Endgame.
That, and that was the, that's the saddest thing. It's like the post credit scene is the only thing. I love Paul Rudd in that role. But I do love like the humor and the tone. But so Captain Marvel leading into so close Avengers Endgame, that's going to be a big test. That, you know, in 2018, Black Panther Avengers Infinity War made over $3 billion in the first half of the year for Disney and Marvel. That is crazy. Can they repeat that with the Captain Marvel? I don't think it's making $1 billion.
I don't think it's... Well, I think it'll make $1 billion.
What? Captain Marvel, you think will?
I think so.
Hmm. Man, then they could repeat their $3 billion in two movies.
I think that it'll hit $1 billion on just that movie, and then I think that they're going to hit the three on Endgame because it's the culmination of 10, you know, yeah, 10, 12 years of content.
22 movies. You got to imagine, they made $2 billion on the first one. They're making... It's like... I would just assume you're making another $2 billion. How are you going to make less? Unless they really drop the ball, which I don't see them doing.
No, and it's going to be a 3-hour movie, so I imagine it's going to be, you know, they're going to sell out kind of consistently for a while.
Right, there'll be less showings. Make it a 4-hour movie. That's not long enough, Russo brothers. Give me all of the Endgame. Now, do you find them? I find that they're in a weird space when this Spider-Man Far From Home trailer came out. Because you have a movie that Kevin Feige has explicitly said this takes place after the events of Endgame. Now, what that means exactly, is it a swerve? We don't know. But how do you market this movie and know you're going to get some backlash from fans going, oh, you're spoiling this shit for me now?
I don't think that they really spoiled anything. I mean, to be honest, I think that because you never really see Aunt May after the snap. You never see... John Favreau after the snap. I mean, you know that Spider-Man's gone, but obviously with just having him, you know, come to the Marvel side of things instead of Sony, yeah, they're not going to let him go. And the new guard is here. Like, they're not going to, they've only been in the series for like one or two movies, right, and then a couple cameos. So like, they're not done.
So, I mean, I think it was kind of brilliant. They did it in such a way, like, people are you know, people are not that dumb. Like, they're not going to leave half the universe just dead. But even still, that ending was so, I remember, like, the first time I saw that ending and people were just like, it was quiet in the theater. Like, people had no idea how to take it. But I think the audience is now, Marvel has educated these audience to be like savvy comic book readers. So they know they're coming back and some people aren't. It's just the how. And will it make sense and will it be satisfying? And, you know, if this was like their Empire Strikes Back with a sad, depressing, dark ending, are we going to get a hopeful ending in the next one in a movie that's called Endgame? Is it going to give us a hopeful ending?
I think it will, but I don't think it will. I think they're dancing around it in the Far From Home trailer. Because... one, if you notice, like, Spider-Man doesn't have the high-tech suit. He's got, you know, just a basic, you know, glider suit, which looks kind of like his old suit. Which leads me to possibly believe that maybe they never met, in a sense? Like, if there's, like, a time travel element?
Yeah, and also, I thought it was interesting that Nick Fury had not met Peter Parker yet. Wouldn't you think they would have met in Endgame? Even though he was on Titan and they're both dusted and Nick Fury was in New York. But I feel like they would have met in Endgame. Meaning, is everything reversed to the point where nobody remembers? And maybe now that school bus is now heading to the airport for their trip instead because none of this happened and it's completely reset. I don't know.
Yeah, see, I'm wondering if during Infinity War, if that bus scene was him on the Far From Home side of things.
Like afterwards or before?
I'm wondering if that was like him going to the trip on the bus on Far From Home in Infinity War. It's getting really deep on the mental side of things here. But
he said they were going to the MoMA is what that when he was like, kid, what are you doing here? And he was like, we're going to the MoMA. But if reality is undone, it could be completely possible instead of the MoMA that bus is not going to the airport.
Yeah, and so like it could be totally different. That's why he ends up stuck with the current suit, and that's, you know, before Stark gave him the enhancement one. And
but also, Tony could have just taken the suit back.
That is true.
This suit's too much for you, kid. I'm taking it back. Here's the old one.
So yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it. But I think that it's going to be both a letdown and kind of a kudos on the, you know, hitting the finale of this whole saga and kind of starting over again.
Yeah, and a fresh start. Basically, look, 2018 was a great year for geeks. 2019, it's going to be even bigger, people. There's so much to look forward to. I can't wait.
Yes. So, do you have any big projects in the works?
Big projects? Not really. I mean, as far as our show, that's the big project as we fly by the seat of our pants from week to week. You know, talking to our listeners. We have like an awesome Facebook group called the Jock and Nerd Nation where people are posting things and they're talking, and I pull some of that into the show to mold the show and to mold the conversations that are happening. The next big thing would be in March. We'd be celebrating our four year birthday. So maybe I should start planning early for that, or just think about it a week before. We'll see what happens.
Well, congrats on that. We're hitting our 10-year this year for the network. So
that's amazing. That's amazing. You guys kept going. That's so awesome. Good for you guys.
Yeah. So definitely keep it up.
Yeah, we will. Still learning.
How can the listeners interact with you?
Well, you can visit our website, jockandnerd.com, where you'll have links to our Twitter, which is at jockandnerdcast, I will have a Facebook page and a Facebook group. Basically, the website has everything you need to know how to get in touch with us, where to listen to the show, how to get the show, and then, you know, show notes for every episode. I put a lot of links of things we talk about in the episode, so listener can follow along. But jockandnerd.com is going to be your main hub.
Awesome, awesome. So I'd like to thank you, Imran, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to hang out with us here on Altered Geek.
It was an honor to talk to Megatron, Steven. Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yes. My name is Megatron.
Autobots?
Autobots, transform and roll out.
Have you seen Bumblebee? I heard it was really good.
I have not, but I know a guy that voiced a couple characters in the movie, namely Shockwave and Soundwave.
Whoa, cool.
I don't know if you've heard of John Bailey?
No, he did the voice for both of them. Wow.
Yeah, he's the Honest Trailers voice.
Oh, get out of here. That's amazing.
And
wow.
He kind of got his start kind of playing around in fan dubs in the mid-early 2000s.
And now, wow. So he started just like messing around and then
he got voices for fan dubs. Yeah, YouTube videos. Yep.
That's really cool. That guy's got a great voice.
Yep, he's a pro.
I bet he sounds a lot like the original cartoon.
Oh yeah, yep. He can do like a Ultra Magnus Robert Stack and stuff like that.
That's awesome. Wow, cool.
Alrighty. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.